Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This is the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman. Captain Mickey has been guiding the Texas Gulf Coast waters for over 30 years and has won numerous national and local tournaments. Now, here's your host, Captain Mickey.
Good morning. Welcome to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Thursday morning. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman, producing the Outdoor Show this morning.
Good morning, Sickos. This is Robert.
Good morning, Robert. All right, we're back at it, bud. All right, sponsors for today's show. We have the Belleville Meat Market, Texan Roofing, and Boyd's One Stop. Galveston right now, 51 degrees down on the island. That'll probably be the warmest temperature of the day. And we're looking at windy with some rain showers. I'm seeing absolutely nothing on radar. Everything's cleared through us and gone east and out over the Gulf. But a morning high of 55 today with temps falling to near 45. North winds will be 25 to 35 miles per hour with that 50% rain chance. And winds could occasionally gust over 40 miles per hour. And then tonight, showers early, then continue cloudy and windy overnight with a low of 38 down on the island. So it's going to be more like 31 up here on the high ground. But pretty cool along the coast. North-northeast winds 20 to 30 miles per hour. 50% chance of rain with higher wind gusts possible. And for tomorrow, cloudy, a high of only 48. And north-northeast winds 15 to 25 miles per hour. So it's winter. How about that? Looking at tides for today, these are Galveston Channel tide predictions. We had a high at 2:21 a.m. Our next tide is a low at 10:42 a.m. It's a negative 0.7. Then we have a high at 7:18 p.m. and 0.9. Then another low before midnight at 10:38 p.m. It's an 0.8. 7:13 a.m. sunrise, 5:47 p.m. sunset. And our moon phase is 96%. And looking at current conditions right now, offshore the buoy 22 nautical miles east of Galveston. It's 55 degrees out there. It's showing a north-northwest wind at 27, gusting to 36. And at Eagle Point, it is 50 degrees with 59-degree water. North winds at 16, gusting to 28. Morgan's Point is 49 degrees with 58-degree water with a north-northwest wind at 22, gusting to 31. Barometric pressure is 30.10 inches and steady. So there you have it. That's pretty much it for weather, and it is wintertime. It is what it is. All right, let's go over to Sabine Lake, and let's strike up a conversation with Captain Bill Watkins this morning. Good morning, Bill. What's up?
Well, it's another blowdown today.
Another blowdown.
Another blowdown. There'll be no fishing in Mudville today.
Laying down trees and small children.
That's right. It'll be bending the cane over, as they
yes,
say.
Yes, sir.
See, cane will be going the other way for a change. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah,
these fronts have had some wind in them this year, man.
Oh, they have. Goodness gracious. I saw things in Sabine Lake Monday afternoon that I haven't seen ever.
Ever.
I don't remember that I've ever seen any of this stuff. Yeah. Like the concrete culvert that was laying alongside of Johnson Bay. And I mean, you won't hit this thing, but you sure hang a hook on it or if you run your trolling motor on it, it'll break the shaft. Big old concrete culvert, or I've never known it was. And crab traps aplenty.
That's probably a leftover from Rita.
Yeah, no doubt. You have to wonder how a concrete culvert gets, you know, on the side of a bio where there was never a house or anything.
I know.
And you have to wonder even where those concrete steps come from that are out there in what we used to call the grass flats.
Yeah.
That was Rita. Rita put that out there. I think those steps fell off a house. They must have been attached some way, and when that house got a certain distance out there, they just fell off, and there they are laying there on the bottom. They look just like they were leading up to somebody's house.
Yeah.
They're straight up. They may be down in the mud some now, but that was a sandy bottom where they fell off. So it's and there was a boat out there too, some kind of a either a steel or aluminum hull boat that's not far from those concrete steps. And it was half buried in the sand, and you couldn't see it except at low tide or when the water would get exceptionally clear. And several people bumped into that. I found it with my trolling motor. Unfortunately, I wasn't going very far, very fast, and bumped into it. Now, that's weird stuff, man.
Yeah, it is.
And I stay puckered up when I'm running around out there, you know, with 4 foot of water gone out of the lake. That's a strange feeling.
Yeah, I saw tides so low. Mm-hmm. I hadn't seen them that low since Rita. You know, when Galveston Bay set an all-time record of the lowest tide ever recorded. Remember, y'all had the hurricane come in over there, and we had a strong north wind over here on this side, and it just blew all the water out forever. I mean, it was just incredible.
Yeah, we had a northeast wind here at my house when Rita come through, and it laid all the trees out in my yard.
Oh,
for
yeah.
a thousand feet of trees. Chainsawed for weeks.
It was a bloody mess.
It was a bloody mess. You got that right. Well, at least, though, I did fish Monday afternoon. That was the strangest thing. Some guys called me that were doing a cast and blast, and they did their blast part, but they couldn't get the boats out of the slip.
Right.
For the cast. So they called me. I had them drive over from Hackberry all the way to Sabine. And we went out and caught redfish. They wanted to catch reds. He said, man, can you put us on some reds? I said, I can probably put you on a few. And, boy, I was amazed at how low it was. So we took off out there and kept fishing and caught reds.
Well, at least you had a place you could get your boat in at.
Yeah, that was fortunate. It was nip and tuck, but we got it in there, you know. Had about a 3-hour fishing trip. Caught redfish, had a great time. Great guys. Come all the way from Telluride, Colorado, to get to Hackberry to go duck up. I hope they kill lots of ducks.
Speaking of ducks, how'd your duck hunt go Saturday?
My duck hunt did not go right. We saw at least 500, 600 ducks, but they would not come anywhere near that blind.
Yeah.
That was the strangest deal. And they had recently moved that blind, and I think the ducks were wise to it. But we sure killed I killed a deer. I got me a cull buck that was about 3 years old. It had a spike on one side and a nub on the other.
There you go.
He was no match for that Merkel 708 at 200 yards.
No.
He just got himself around sideways, and I plastered him. The end.
But
it was a great hunt. It was a great hunt. I enjoyed going over there. I always do. That's an invitation-only hunt. I was so happy to be there. You know, we just had a good old time. The hosts were so nice. They're just such fine people. And we really had a grand time. That was 2 days of fun and feasting. We'll see. Hope I get to go back one day.
Very nice. Where did you go? Did you say you went to Mississippi or somewhere?
No, we went to Lake Catahoula in Louisiana. That's straight across behind Alexandria, and some farm country over there. It's right there in the Mississippi Delta. I mean, the Mississippi river bottoms.
Right.
And, boy, it's they got some lowlands over there, brother.
Yeah, and I bet that was pretty.
About 4,000 acres of farmland and brush and cypress trees and water and oaks. And it's just it's a really amazing place. Beautiful lodge, nice lake to fish in.
Man,
I did catch a couple of bass while I was there.
I knew you was going to have to do that.
Well, yeah. One of the guys had me a rod.
Like you got to pick a rod up, junk a couple, you know.
I said, I got a little old tackle kit over here and a nice rod. I said, okay, let's go.
Didn't take twist much my push. Arm, man. Force me.
Yeah, throw me in that briar patch. I got some good fish in there. The host caught a 5-pounder while I was standing there watching on a handmade bait. I caught one about 3. He caught one more. Couple more actually on that crankbait. Then it was time to go deer hunting. Run the afternoon out and went and jumped in a blind. Got there just before 4 o'clock. Feeders go off at 4:05, ready to rock and roll.
Man.
Yeah.
Sounds like a nice time. It's good to get away, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It is.
I'm still reliving my South Texas trip. You just can't get enough of it.
Did you kill a big one again down there?
No, I didn't get a wall hang or anything, but I got a couple of hit list bucks that Blaine had, you know, some old scrub culls. And luckily, two of them showed in one hunt. Got both of them in one hunt. Boom, bam.
Oh, cool.
Then about 30 minutes each other.
That's what you call a fun deal. I'd love to go down there. I'd like to look into that for next year, maybe. That's good country to hunt.
I'm eating that Belleville sausage that they're made out of. I won't even be able to tell what size the horns were. Doesn't even matter.
No, it don't matter. It really
won't matter.
I think me and my son are going to split this one. I killed it. He was a pretty good sized buck to not have any more antler than he did.
Yeah.
They told me, so if you see a unicorn buck, bust him. I said, okay.
Unicorn buck.
He come out right at dark. He thought he was safe. But that Swarovski scope lit him up.
Heck yeah. I mean, or nothing like good optics, baby. Hang on, Bill. Let me knock this commercial out, and I'll come back to you, man. Hang with me. Get you some more coffee.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Almost heaven, West Virginia, Blue Ridge Mountains, Shenandoah River.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. 417. All right. Let's go back and talk some more with Captain Bill Watkins. All right, Bill, we're back, my friend.
All right, buddy. Well, I just boiled my hot chocolate over in the microwave.
Ooh, hot chocolate. Boy, that sounds good this morning. Tomorrow morning will be a good morning for that.
Yeah, it will. I'm not going to get this one because I boiled it over. That whole cup went out into the microwave, caught in the dish.
Boy, your wife isn't going to like that.
No, she ain't gonna know about it.
I can't believe how clean my microwave stays now since there's no kids coming around anymore. They used to throw stuff in there and never cover it up and just all that popping and splattering. And boy, that was a pet peeve of my wife. She did not like that.
Oh, well, hey, there is life after children.
Boy, there is, but you never get rid of them. They never go away.
No, I told a couple of them I was going to break their plate when they left, but, you know, you can't really do that.
Hey, with the price of groceries now, it's pretty glad they're not coming around.
Yeah, they're going to have to contribute.
That's it.
Well, shoot, man. I guess hunting season's about over, buddy.
It is, us. Man. You got a couple of weeks in South Texas, doe and spike, but I was talking to Blaine yesterday, and he's been graining quail roads for 2 days now, putting out his wheat and milo and, you know, his trail mix that he uses to pull the quail out of the brush. And, boy, he's got them. He ought to have a real, real good month of quail hunting coming up.
That's something I would love to do.
Oh, they're tasty little birds. And you know what I screwed up? I left my quail down there when I left. He's going to bring them home to me the next time he comes home.
Oh, man. Well, you pretty much ride the roads down there and shoot them, huh?
Oh, yeah, you can hunt. He's got, quail racks on his trucks, and you can sit up there real comfortable and shoot them off the road like that, flush cubbies. Or even if you do, if they run off, you can get out and get down and then walk them up and then shoot them again. You get two shots at them, you know.
I love that. That would be a hoot.
Yeah, it's fun, and you get 15 birds quicker than you think a lot of times, you know, especially as many coveys as he has, you know.
That's enough to make it worthwhile.
Oh, yeah. They're tasty little birds, and quail are just so much better than, you know, pen raised domestic quail.
Yeah. Excuse me. You could do a lot of things with that. Mm-hmm. Good old meat like that. Mm-mm.
Yeah, quail is good.
I guess I still could shoot a few squirrels off my feeder out here on the north side of the house, but I'm thinking I'm going to stop now and let them build back up for the next year.
Build back up and save them for hard times.
Yeah, that's right. I've got there's four out there right now that come regular, and one of them's a fox squirrel. I've been letting them just eat freestyle. No problems. They don't have a worry in the world.
Fatten them up.
Yeah, buddy. Now, if they get really round and roly-poly, I love them with fat all over them. Oh,
yeah,
man.
You got to have fat on a squirrel, man.
That's just like eating a piece of pork. Man.
Yeah.
Those things are so good. I don't know why anybody wouldn't eat them. I just don't understand that. That's one of the best animals you can kill. Oh well. That's if a lot of people don't want to hunt them, then I do. That's more for me.
People eating tasty animals.
Yes, that's right. I'm a member.
Yeah, me too.
So a real quick Sabine Lake report, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, you went Monday. That was I'm proud of you. That's I had nowhere to put a boat in Monday. I mean, it was all the ramps were dry. I mean, one bay was totally dry. You could have walked across it.
That's terrible.
It's crazy.
I bet it'll be like that today, too. After this all blows through for 2 days, it's going to blow it down.
Entered the low water season.
Hey, but I'll tell you what. I fished actually right before I left on the trip.
Right.
And I fished, you know, right after I got back. Just worked out that way. And the water was tore up. I mean, it's dirty and it blew trash out of the marsh. And but the middle of Sabine Lake is still salty and, you know, clear.
Right.
And so, you know, you just get that wave action and flush action from the bios and stuff. That's just like flushing a toilet when it blows down that hard.
Right.
And it dirties up everything except the center of the lake. And it's deep enough out there that it stays fairly clear. And then when the tide returns, it clears back up enough that that you can see your lure down about a foot or so. And those redfish, they wanted to come back in there, and there was lots of little tiny minnows that I couldn't identify. They were too far away, and I couldn't pick them up in my net. They looked like either glass minnows or pogie, but they were so tiny. I mean, but those redfish were in there scooping around. They'll gorge on those things.
Yeah, they will.
And you could just bump the side of the boat and see them out 30 yards, you know, just nervous water. Little bitty tiny. I don't know what kind of fry are in the lake at this time of year. You got any idea what that could be?
January. Another hatch of tiny shad or glass minnows, or, you know, our early glass minnow hatch.
That's kind of what I was thinking, but there was millions of.
We used to fish that glass minnow pattern was real good in late February and all of March, where they were big enough you could identify them, and that's what the fish were on. I mean, they'd be jumping out of the water eating them, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
And early spring.
These may be, they may just be emerging now or whatever, but they were little slivers of silver, you know, you could see them. And I figure that might be what it is. I think it's a little early for the pogie, but you know, it's kind of surprising that they had a hatch out there this early. But, you know, like you say, it's usually late February, March. But, and then they'll
Everything's kind of backwards like that. You know, there was a – remember, what was it, about mid-November? We had another big hatch of shad. We had those thumbnail-sized shad swimming all over the trout we're eating on. You know, that was around Thanksgiving time.
Yeah, we had some that were, you know – about an inch, and like, well, wow, this is unusual. They were hitting the shrimp as much as they could, but you know, when those got in there, they ate them too, you know. But our trout are going to be out there somewhere. I caught them pretty darn good right before I left on that hunting trip, but and redfish too. So now it's on the shorelines. It's going to be redfish for a while. But as soon as that tide recovers and clears the water a little bit, those trout will come in off the mid lake, and they'll be working the shallows too. So
sure they will.
You know, water temperature was 50 in the bios and 49, and when I got out in the lake itself, it was 53 to 54.
Right.
And the sun shining, I said, "Shoot, this is perfect."
Yeah, it is.
Anytime you get over 50 out there. You know, things will happen pretty quick. And those redfish didn't seem that lethargic at all. They fought pretty darn good.
Nah, that cold weather doesn't affect them hardly at all. I think they get stronger and friskier, you know, when it gets down to around 48 to 50 degrees.
Yeah, that's right. It's going to be okay. I mean, everything's happening just like it's supposed to. We got a little bit of rain the last front to come through, and on this one, we're going to get about an inch or so. And all of that will work together to kind of start moving those trout down south like they like to do this time of year. They'll start leaving up there, and they'll come this way.
Mm-hmm.
And as they come down the shorelines on each side of the lake, they'll be at where you can target them real good. Hey, the cycle starts over.
It's the same every year. Some years it's earlier, some years later, but it's pretty much within a couple of weeks of when it's supposed to be.
Well, we had salt water in the top of the lake and up the rivers this fall. It got right up there, and the fish responded. You know, there's a lot of fish stay up there in that deep water when it's salty.
Yeah, they do.
They love it. There was still shrimp up there, a lot of eyeballs and whiskers and small shrimp. And they were having a grand time. Every once in a while, they'd drive those little shrimp to the top, and they'd start hop-a-maticking around, and that's when you really could catch them quick then.
Yeah.
When they'd sound, they'd go all the way back to the bottom. I mean, you'd go over them with that big Helix 12, I could see little hump on the bottom. Mm-hmm. That was the fish. They were laying with their belly in the mud, 10 foot, 12 foot
down. That's what they do. They're either up or down.
Yeah. You couldn't see any bait on the screen or nothing. I mean, that was the craziest deal, but those fish were there. If you weren't really paying attention, you would never see any of them, not even on that screen. You just, you know, but you see that little small hump down there, not boomerang with water under it. They were on the bottom.
Yeah.
And once I figured that out, I made them pay for their sins. They messed up.
Dang, you forget them like that. I'll pour the coals to you for that.
I love that big Helix 12. That is a fine piece of equipment, man. You can see stuff. It's a Gen 3. Yeah. I'm sure the ones they got now are even better, but, you know, at the price they charge for those things, I'm going to have to live with it.
You spend a fortune trying to stay upgraded and with the latest, greatest stuff. I mean, it just,
you need to learn to use the one you got.
That's right.
There's a lot of tricks that it'll do that, you know, even the Gen 2s and the Gen 1s, they're real good.
Right.
You just have to use, you can interpret them a little bit different, because that Gen 3 makes really pretty boomerangs on a decent sized fish. You know, if it's a pound or two, you can see them, and you can see the little
thing. Yeah, it'll ping and make that good boomerang signal. You bet.
It's better when you get in, you know, 15 to 25 foot of water, you can see it better.
Yeah.
But once they get up into about 10 feet, you have a little bit different signal to look at on those trout.
Yeah.
You know, it's a better sized fish. It might not be a perfect little boomerang, but you can see them going under the boat. You know.
Yeah, you can tell it's a fish. You know, what
you're
fishing for.
You're sitting still.
It's not bad.
Yeah, you're sitting still. You got your anchor down or whatever, your power pole, and they swim by. You can see them. And you don't have much of a cone angle. It's just 20 degrees, I think.
Right.
And you don't see much of that in 10 foot of water, but you'll pick up the bait balls. If you see the bait balls, fish are around there.
Oh no!
They
doubt.
Might shy away from the boat. You know, at 10 foot, they might shy away from the boat, especially if you got your spot lock going, trolling motors running. But they'll be within range. They just kind of ease out away from the boat. It's pretty tricky, but once you figure it out, it really works good.
Well, that's good info, Bill. I got to run. If somebody wants to call you about coming over and hooking up, spending the day with you, how do they get a hold of you, bud?
409-673-9211.
Rfishsabinelake.com.
You got it, man.
Bill, have a good one. Appreciate talking to you. Thanks for the good info. I'll talk to you Saturday. See you, man.
All right.
All right, buddy. All right, that's Captain Bill Watkins over at Sabine Lake. It's time for a break. You're listening to The Outdoor Show. We'll be right back.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear.
We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
He was born in the summer of his 27th year, coming home to a place he'd never been before.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Thursday morning. A little chilly and breezy this morning, but it's going to get even cooler as the week goes on. Looks like this is going to spread on in all the next week, too. So it's winter. I'm a John Denver thirsty. All right, let's go check in with the fish dude this morning. Richard, what are you up to?
Not a lot, but I'll tell you what. It feels like we're in the Rocky Mountains. Ain't no doubt.
Hey, do you ever thaw out from that bass tournament?
Oh, my gosh. I'll tell you what, that thing was rugged.
But I bet it was. Golly.
I know, but I'll tell you what, I figured it was what was it, Saturday? Good night. That wind was getting it out there. We, you know, put in and five fingers up there and just kind of fished around there a little bit. Didn't do a lot because I didn't want to beat on nothing anyway. And I couldn't even get to the fish that I was wanting to get to. So I figured I'd kind of go over the mistakes that I made at Rayburn on this whole deal. But, you know, just looking back on it, you know, December over there fishing and stuff. And I basically found all the time I was over there, I found two spots, right? I found one up in Buck Bay. I found one in the Black Forest. The one in the Black Forest was eliminated. You couldn't get to it.
No, not in that wind. You were done.
Yeah. And I actually did get to it for a little while, and I fished it, and they just weren't there. What was happening on these two spots that I found? Now, whenever I talk about finding spots, anytime I talk about finding spots on Rayburn, each spot I can pull up and catch 100 to 200 fish off of. And they're good fish. They're not little ones. Well, there's one little spot I'd found out there in the Black Forest. It was a little hump. It had one stump that had probably stood up about 6 to 8 foot tall. Couldn't tell how big around it was. This is a pretty decent sized tree. You could see the roots falling off this hump. And it's, you know, sitting out there 15 foot. Then, boom, it dropped off into 30, and it was right in the bend of a channel. So I thought, great. You know, I saw those fish sitting out there. And the first time I found it, literally I'd throw out there, let that rattle trap sink 15 feet to the bottom. And I could see it sinking. When it get down there, I could see the fish just kind of shooting all around that tree and jerk it real hard like you're spoon fishing.
Right.
And let it fall back, and they would thump it. And it's the same thing in Buck Bay. I had pretty much a spot over there that was identical to that one, dropped off into some deeper water like that, and it was amazing. You could pull up there, and the problem was they had to be there. I mean, if you pulled up there and you didn't see anything, you might as well leave it alone. You might catch one, you might not. But I didn't even check the one in Buck, because by the time it got around to that, I was too far away. So anyway, what I'd figured out is I was trying to catch these fish that were staging to go up, move up and spawn. So there was two things that one thing I majorly did not pay attention to, and I should have, was that moon. And we even talked about it. Saturday, we talked about that full moon, and I didn't, it never clicked in my head. What was happening was the water temperatures were 58, you know, 59, and then even with the fronts coming in, it only dropped to like 57. But we had a full moon. I was fishing for the fish that were moving up to spawn. They were already there. They're not, I mean, they were literally, they're not spawning. Some of them may be, but they're way closer than I was fishing. I was catching these channels, you know, some of them, there was one of them in Beach where I'd had a wad of them. They were smaller fish when I'd found them, but there was a wad of fish in there. And there's where the creek channel made like a S bend, and there was a little bit of hydrilla there and about 6 foot of water. And they were stacked in that little bend. The channel itself is 10 foot deep, and there's, you know, it had a real sharp S bend in it. And there on each bend, there was a little point of hydrilla, and those fish were stacked up on that little spot, you know. And it, I mean, you could throw a little rattle trap through there and just, you know, you're in the hydrilla. The hydrilla is 6 foot deep. Their fish were right there, but I needed to move to 3 foot and 4 foot. I don't know why I didn't. I stayed out in the middle of the creeks thinking I was going to catch those bigger fish that were moving in, but they had already moved up. So that was my mistake on that. And the reason for it was that full moon. That full moon had pulled them on up a little closer to the banks. So, and then that,
you know, a lot of people don't realize a full moon, these fish react to it. They move on it. You get a moving fish with a full moon, just like you do with animals.
Exactly, and that's why I wanted to talk about that this morning, because even though it's January, even though it's still cold and we think it's cold, water temperatures are warming up to the point where they're right for the fish to move up and spawn. And when that full moon kicks in, normally three days before and 3 days after that full moon, those fish are going to make a big push towards the bank.
Right.
And I think they did that on me, and I didn't catch it. So that's why I wanted to point that out this morning. That's mistakes that I made. You know, when I pulled up in that one spot that I was talking about, that was the S curve in the grass and all that, I jumped a 2.5 pounder off, but 2.5 pounder ain't no good. I mean, I'm looking for sixes and above.
Well, yeah. You know, so fishing Rayburn, fives and up. That's the game.
You're right. And I mean, you know, right off the bat when I got in there, I jumped that, you know, because it was tough to get there. I'm trying to run out there in the dark.
It was nasty, man.
Yeah. I ran out there from Five Fingers and made it into Norris. Yeah, hit the main lake and then turned right into Norris. And I said, I had a little spot there in Norris that I've been catching some fish, so I'm just going to start right here, let that sun get up so I can see what I'm hitting, because there were still good 2.5 to 3 foot waves out there.
When I started
Sunday morning, so it was rough. And then after the sun got up, I went ahead and made the run up to Veach, which I just beat the heck out of you. So, I mean, you know, but I could see what was coming. You know, I knew what I was getting into. I didn't want to do it in the dark when I couldn't see what I was getting into, because I'd already looked at them waves the day before, and they were good 4 footers and up. So I didn't, you know, I knew I was coming off of something that had been blowing real hard, and there was going to be some rogue rogue ones out there that, you know, and that's funny. You know, you don't see those on a lot of lakes, but Rayburn, Toledo, you do. You get those, like a night before you'll have a big, big storm or something that'll blow through. Well, then the next day it'll calm down. But when it calms down, it's slow to calm down. It tapers off, and you'll have one big wave in there that'll just come up out of the blue. You know, it'll be like a four-footer when the rest of them are a foot and a half. And it's just out of the blue. Here it is. And you're not paying attention. You hit that rascal, you launch. So I've done it a couple of times, and that's how I know. So it's, you know, but it's one of those things dealing with those big lakes. But now that's one of the things I wanted to point out is the mistakes that I made in that tournament, you know, over at Rayburn. So those fish, if you're going to Rayburn, bass fishing, you better start looking at the banks. Just start beating them banks because that's where they're headed.
Well, they're getting right in that mode now this time of year. They're in and out, in and out. They react with pressure change and water temperature drops and warm-ups.
Yes.
And they're back and forth till it does happen. But it's
exactly.
They're in that mode now, in and out.
Yep. And I tell you what, I had a trip on Conroe today. We decided to call it off because this wind's going to be blowing too hard. But
yeah.
I might ease out there in a little bit and go see if I can do some bass fishing on my own out there. Because if those fish are moving up out on Rayburn, they're up on Conroe. So I got to go find them.
Well,
yeah, I got to go find them.
When was it? It was late January when Ricky Bearden caught that lake record fish,
yes.
Right?
Yes, I don't remember exactly the day, but it's like it's somewhere between the 15th and the 20th.
I thought it was late January when he caught that fish.
Yeah, I was sitting there on the ramp when he waded in, and I said, dang, that's a big rascal. He said, yep, and he waded that sucker in, and then come find out his new lake record. So,
yeah, that's a monster, man.
I'll tell you what, that's like Ivy still pumping out them big suckers. Good night, I can't believe they're still doing it.
I know.
So.
Hey, last year, this year, hey, they're definitely in a good cycle right now on Ivy.
Yeah, the problem is they keep pulling them bingos out. They're gonna pull me in there like a magnet. I want to go catch
you
one
and everybody
out.
Else. You
I
better,
know.
Better take a number and wait in line. Get you a spot.
Yeah, I guarantee you. Well, that's the thing. You know, you get a lake that starts pumping out them big fish like that. Everybody wants to go.
Oh,
now.
Everybody's but, on it.
Yeah, well, it's kind of alleviating some pressure on Fork, though, so that'll help, you know.
True.
Fork's not, they're not pulling out the big ones like they were yet. They're going to, but they're not yet. But Ivy is kicking it in high gear and ain't slowing down. So, and I ain't even been on the dying lake, so I'm ready to get over and see what it looks like. But
man.
It took me years to get to Fayette County, and I lived right down the road.
I know. I love Fayette County. That's a good lake. A lot of action.
That's the dangest lake I've ever seen.
Yeah, it just keeps on producing. But with the slot limit the way it is and everything, it can't help but do that. You're leaving fish in the water, man.
Exactly.
You're getting that reproduction.
I'll tell you what, though. That first time, just like talking about Fayette, first time I went over there, I had my wife throwing a little tapper on a drop shot, and I said, this water's right for a Zara spook. So I throw a spook out there, and before I got my first cast in, she already had two fish. I said, that's enough.
Little tapper.
So I took and rigged that rascal up, and I guarantee you, we caught between 7 a.m. and 11 a.m., we had over 200 fish.
Yeah.
It's like, you got to be kidding me. I mean, goodness. And the thing that really amazed me about that lake was, and it was, you know, it was August or something like that, and, you know, hottest part of the year, power plant lake. So you figure the intake side is the side where you're going to catch your bigger fish, the cooler water.
Yeah.
Cooler water going in the intake was around 90 degrees, pulled over to the discharge pumping out about 96 degree water temp. The small fish were on the cool side, big fish on the warm side.
They get acclimated.
Oh, they do. I tell you what, though, it just never ceases to amaze me. And when in that warmer water, it also never ceases to amaze me how shallow those fish will go.
Oh, sure.
I mean, Gibbons, when I used to go out over at Gibbons, you know, years ago. That's where I first started guiding, was over at Gibbons Creek. And people would always say, man, I can't catch fish over here since you ain't fishing shallow enough.
Yeah.
You throw it on the dirt and drag it in the water. You know, some fish are like that. I mean, seriously. I fished a tournament on Lake Livingston one time. If you were throwing little bitsy bugs, little jigs, little like a 3/16-ounce jig.
Yeah.
It's not a big jig at all. And you throw it out there, if it hit the water, you wouldn't catch a fish. But if you threw it on the dry ground and drug it in, catch one every cast. What was happening, the water was coming up and the bugs were coming out of the grass.
Right.
So those fish were waiting and they'd see those bugs crawling out and then boom, they'd get them. But if it hit the water, they knew it was something that wasn't right, so they wouldn't eat it.
Exactly.
I mean, there's days where you got to figure stuff like that out, and it's, you know, if you catch one by accident, like throw it on the ground and hang up or whatever, that's how you just figured it out.
That's it. Now, always remember what you did on the last cast when you caught a fish. Sometimes it's hard to do, but
guarantee you. All right, Richard.
Well, I got to run. If somebody wants to call you and get up to Conroe, it's getting your time of year. How do they get a hold of you, bud?
Well, make anyone get in touch with me at 936-661-7920. You can find me on Facebook. Just check out the Fish Dudes Guide Service. You can email me at admin@fishdudetx.com or just check out the webpage, fishdudetx.com.
All right, bud. Well, Richard, be safe and good luck.
Yes, sir. Y'all have fun.
All right, man. You too. All right. All right, that's the Fish Dude up on Lake Conroe. Now let's run down Matagorda Way and check in with Captain Charlie Paradosky. Charlie P., what's up?
Morning, Mickey. What's happening?
Oh, not a lot. What's up with you, bud?
Man, I'm resting up after fishing for 3 days.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Man, that was a blow, wasn't it?
Boy, that was a good one.
Golly.
Man, we lost some water. Golly, it left town, buddy.
I'm telling you. I know Monday, when I left the dock, somebody, his trailer was off the end of the ramp. You know, they put it down too deep. I don't know how in the hell they got that big trailer out of there, but they were struggling. But that's the only problem I saw with the low tides of boats around our part of the country.
Yeah.
You know, that harbor we got, that's a blessing.
Yeah, it is.
We don't have a problem with that. Not at all. That Monday, I took a chance, went out to the bay first. Now, I should have known better, but it was dead calm.
Right.
And, you know, that was that holiday, Martin Luther King.
Mm-hmm.
That damn parking lot was full, completely full. And 60% of those people went offshore fishing, you know, in small boats.
Yeah.
And they all didn't catch them. Remember, they were all complaining about too many boats being out there on those, wherever they go out there at those state waters. But some of them had them and some of them didn't. I saw some of them come in with Gulf trout. The redfish, the red snapper that they had, man, they were beautiful, big ones.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. But some of those boats that went out there, boy, it was questionable. I mean, I saw five people in about a 16-foot boat going out there. And I said,
that's nuts, isn't it?
Crazy. Absolutely.
In the Gulf of Mexico.
I went to East Bay first with that super low tide. That was a mistake. It was all clear water out there, but you know, I had to go out there.
I bet that bay was shallow.
It was.
With that low tide,
you could see everything, but the water was beautiful, and and I'd done it before in the past, and you know, all it would have took was finding one group of birds over a school of fish out there, and you know, would have been a heyday, but it didn't happen. I came back about 10:30, 11 o'clock, came back to the diversionary canal, and it was just stupid.
I figured that after that drop of water. any kind of deep bayou or river or anything like that. It's got to be stacked like cordwood.
Right, they were. And, you know, it was that was full moon day. And, and you know what happens? They bite in the middle of the day. So I went in there at the right time. And it just, there really wasn't that many guides fishing that day. Most of them were fishing for redfish, you know, with bait. And, and they all caught those at the end of the diversionary canal where it starts getting shallow. But
right.
It was good. Good fishing. Really good. And still, when I clean those fish, there's nothing in their stomachs, those trout. I just don't
understand. Empty.
Yeah. Been like that the whole year.
Boy, you think they would have gorged out before that front hit.
Yeah. You know, the redfish that we caught were just big, fat footballs, but just not much in their gut. I don't understand it. Yeah. I mean,
well, there's no lack of bait.
Well, I foul hooked two of those little, you know, 3-inch shad, you know, the ones that's got a spot on them, and that's got to be what they're eating in there.
I guarantee you.
You know, one of the other guides found birds working up the river, but nothing under the birds. Couldn't catch nothing.
You know, I've had that happen, you know, for years. You know, you'll find, you know, they're on fish, but I think they're just seeing the fish, and the fish aren't feeding. They're just swimming, especially, you know, like on reds. You know how those birds will get high over reds like that, and you're just beating your brains out trying to get one bite out of them. I mean, you know there's fish in there. The way the birds are, you know, they keep circling back.
Right.
And every once in a while you'll see one go down and bill dip or something, you know, on something real small. But it's like those fish are just swimming and they can see them. We can't see them because we're not high up in the air like the birds are. And you chase them and nothing.
Yeah, a lot of times... It's small schools of fish, and if you don't hit them at the right angle, like I figured that out in the fog last Friday, I had to come at those birds at a certain angle to catch any fish. And if you did hit them, then you hit them big time.
Yeah.
And if you didn't come at them right, you didn't catch them nothing. I don't know. That's stuff you got to figure out while you're out there sometimes.
Oh, yeah. It's always different.
Yeah.
It was always the same. We wouldn't have any fish left. We'd catch all of them.
We tried to do that, didn't we?
We tried for years. It couldn't be done.
Yeah. Well, every day the tide came up just a hair, and you know, fishing wasn't as good as it was the day before, but you'd still catch them. Yesterday, I couldn't catch anything in the diversion, and I ended up going back out in the East Bay, and we caught them, but it was a grind. It was like one fish adrift.
Right.
You know, I knew they were there, and I didn't go anywhere else. And I ended up getting them a box of fish, but it was tough fishing.
Yeah.
And a lot of little fish. A lot of little fish out there, too.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, they got pulled out with that low tide, and they're, you know, once you start getting your water back, then all those fish, it were kind of congregated from the lowness of the water. Then when it starts deepening up, you know, water coming back, they start spreading back out.
Oh yeah.
And then you got to wait for them to gang up again. By the time you get them ganged up again on a southerly, and here comes another northern, and you got to start all over again.
That's right.
Been doing it for years.
That's the way it is.
Yes, it is.
That's the way it is. But at least we still got a few fish to catch around.
At least you got something to catch. That's what it's exactly right. And these fish will come back quicker than people think they will.
They will.
You just got to wait them out. Just got to go through the lean times to get to the good times.
That river is still full of fish. Those, you know, the people that fish off the piers at night. You know, it seems like the first night when those fronts hit, they get out there, they're catching really big fish, and then, you know, little by little, they'll get smaller, but
right.
They get harder to catch in the river in the daytime as it as you progress with time. You know, we usually do our best in late October, November, December when you get these fronts, you go into the river, but now they get a little bit harder to catch in the daytime.
Yeah.
You know, I know a couple of them went up the river yesterday and caught a few, but they were using live shrimp to catch them.
Right.
Yeah. But,
well, we're getting that time of year from now till about early March. These fish get real nocturnal sometimes, especially in deep water like that.
Yeah.
You know, the flats are always better.
You're not going to catch them every day.
Especially the bigger fish, you know, they'll feed about every 3 days. You know, they'll get a big old mullet and hold on to it for 3 days before they puke it up and start looking for food again.
Yep.
Kind of an every other day to every 3 day pattern. Especially on big fish, it's a longer window. You know, little fish eat more frequent, but those bigger fish, they just they slow their metabolism down. They'll eat a big old mullet before a front and they'll hold on to it for 2, 3, 4 days and get all they can out of it, puke it up, and go get them a fresh one for the next front.
Yep. Well, I don't know how many of those big fish are left out there. I know there's some, but don't know how many.
Well, we'll know between now and March. It's getting y'all's
We'll know more in a few weeks when they have that big tournament down here because they'll be on them if there's any out there.
Well, true. Those guys are good at what they do, and they're targeting one thing, the big bite. They're not looking for a bunch of fish. They're looking for big fish.
Right.
All right, Charlie. Well, hey, bud, if somebody wants to get you and come over and fish with you between now and the good times, I mean, you're hitting your window now. It's getting time. If we can get the weather to cooperate, how do they get a hold of you?
Call me on my cell phone, 713-725-2401.
All right, Charlie. Hey, good talking to you, man. And rest up and get ready to go get them again, bud.
All right, Mickey. Take care.
Hey, thanks, Charlie. See you, man. All right. All right, it's Captain Charlie Paradosky in Matagorda. It's time for a break. You're listening to The Outdoor Show here at Sports Radio 610. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.